You're listening to Spartan Up Podcast. We're going to interview somebody every week from all over the world and see what they did in their life to become successful, no matter how they defined it.
Spartans, welcome back to Pittsfield. And I have with me, as always, the wonderful Colonel Nye, the majestic Johnny Waite, and the unicorn Joe DeSena.
Unicorn.
with Marion. And see, that's it for Lala. I'm Seth Lala or something. And all of our wonderful helpers. So today, we get to meet AJ Jacobs. He's a best-selling author, and he's done some super cool things. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever wanted to memorize an encyclopedia or, you know, read the Bible and try to emulate that in your daily life. I mean, I have in a tent on Joe's Mountain, always barefoot.
You did, but not to the level he has.
I mean,
no. he tracked down an adulterer in the park and stoned him.
And stoned him. I've never seen you stone an adulterer.
You don't see everything on Joe. Okay, so let's see what else AJ Jacobs shall do.
We are here in New York for Spartan Up Podcast with AJ, a.k.a. the human guinea pig.
Correct.
He also contributes to NPR, writer for Esquire, super author.
I like that.
How many books have you written?
I've written four major books and a bunch of little minor ones.
Nice. And any major motion picture yet?
They've all been optioned, but none of them have actually made the screen.
And your big guinea pig moment was you were...
Probably my best known work was when I... it was called The Year of Living Biblically, and I followed all the rules of the Bible as literally as possible for a year. So, famous ones, Ten Commandments, love your neighbor, but also, you can't shave the corners of your beard, so I had this huge, you know, I looked crazy. I spent a lot of time at airport security.
Did you start on January 1st? You said this is, like, when did you start?
I think I started sometime in September.
September.
For no particular reason.
And lived under a thatched roof or stayed in your apartment?
I did stay in what? Well, you know what? I actually built a hut in my apartment at one point, because the Bible says you have to. So, yeah, my wife was not happy about that. She thought it, and it was not very... baby proof. Yeah, this like wooden structure.
So you build the structure in your apartment, you're living in that thing, your wife's not happy, and you had a baby, so you were what, trying to figure out?
Yeah, what to teach him about, because I grew up with no religion at all, so I say in the book I'm Jewish, but I'm Jewish in the same way the Olive Garden is Italian.
Got it.
So I thought one way to learn about the Bible would be to live it, to actually follow in the sandal steps of our
sandals.
Oh, sure. I had sandals. I had the robe. I had the beard. I had the whole thing.
Every day or just weekdays?
I did work every day, but I didn't actually wear the robe every day. I did have, at one point, I had a sheep. It was like a little rental sheep, but that was more for the photo shoot for the cover.
So what'd you learn? You're doing it for a year. You've got you got sheep in your house.
Yeah. I learned a tremendous amount. You know, after the year, I shaved off the beard.
But by the way, what religion did you follow?
Well, this is mostly the Bible, mostly the Old Testament.
Okay.
So it's like over 600 rules in the Old Testament.
And you wrote them down, put them on your medicine cabinet?
That's it. Exactly. Right? All over the house. On the doorpost. One of the rules is you have to write the laws on your doorpost. So I got in trouble with my...
landlord?
Well, the landlord for writing the rules.
But it was it's mandated as per the Bible.
Yeah. I'm just following instructions here.
All right.
So, I learned a lot. As I say, I did shave my beard and I stopped stoning adulterers, which I did, as I mentioned before.
Shaved your beard. No, but during that year, you stoned adulterers.
Yeah, during the year, I stoned one adulterer.
How did you find the adulterer?
Well, it was I was in Central Park with the robe and the beard, and this guy came up to me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to follow all the rules of the Bible, from the Ten Commandments to stoning adulterers." He says, "I'm an adulterer, are you going to stone me?" And I said, "Well, that'd be awesome. You know, that's a nice offer." And I took a bunch of stones out of my pocket because I had been carrying them around.
Waiting to run into an adulterer.
And here he was.
Would you go out at night to try to run into an adulterer? I mean, this is pure daylight in Central Park.
This was in daylight, right. I mean, in New York.
Highly unlikely you're going to find one. You just happen to stumble upon one.
I was very lucky. I was blessed. So.
And thou shalt not kill, so you couldn't kill him.
I could not kill him, but I did stone
him. You beat him pretty well.
Well, they were small. They were pebbles, so I didn't actually hurt them.
There's not a rule in the Bible on the size of the stone?
I didn't see it. I looked in the fine print. But in terms of what I learned, it did change my life for the better, in addition to the weird stuff.
Well, you'd never commit adultery after what you put
down,
right?
There's that. Although the Bible does allow, the Old Testament allows multiple wives. So mm. I tried to pitch that to my wife, and she's like, that's not going to happen.
Shut it down.
But
I mean, you got a sheep living in the house. You've got this hut you built. I mean, now you're going to add a few wives. That, you can't really blame her.
I did. I pushed it too far. But one thing was the idea of gratitude, because they make you say, you know, you have to say these thanks for everything in your life. And I took that literally. So I would press the elevator button. I'd be thankful the elevator came. I'd get in the elevator. I'd be thankful it didn't plummet to the basement. And it was weird, but it was also wonderful because you realize there are hundreds of things that go right every day that we totally take for granted. And we focus on the three or four that go wrong. And so it's been a radical shift in perspective. And that's just one of the many things that have made me.
And did that stick at all? Are you still doing a little bit of it?
Oh, yeah. That stuck a lot. And another big one, which actually kind of relates to your philosophy, is the idea of I had to become a better person. So the Bible says no coveting, no lying, no gossiping. You know, I live in New York and I'm a journalist, so that's 80% of my day right there. So I was like, how am I going to do this? And what the secret I found was that I pretended to be a better person. And if you pretend long enough, you become a bit of a better person. So you really, it's how much the outer affects the inner. How if you force yourself to do something.
You force yourself to do less gossiping. You force yourself to do less lying and
that's it.
Cheating.
And like I forced myself to go visit a friend in the hospital, even though I hate hospitals. But yeah. I got there and it sort of tricked my mind. I said, oh, I'm visiting a friend. I must be compassionate. And I became a little more compassionate. There's a great quote by the founder of Habitat for Humanity. He says, it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting.
Love it.
So I found this true. And I found this in fitness as well. I did a book on trying to be the healthiest person alive. And I had to force myself in the beginning to get on the, you know, go out and run or lift weights. And
what was your book? What was that book called?
That was called Drop Dead Healthy.
I know you.
You know it.
I know that book.
Ah, look at that.
Yeah. So that's funny. I think during when you were writing that book, you wrote a little bit about the kind of toothpastes to use. I remember something about
yeah.
you, right?
There was a section on toothpaste. I went overboard because if you obsess about health that much, it's not healthy. You're stressing yourself out.
Sure.
But every moment of the day, I was trying to make a healthy decision. And one of the takeaways is, you know, don't focus all that much. You want to focus a healthy amount on health, but right. you want to remember
not be unhealthy about health.
Exactly. Don't be unhealthy right. about health.
And what other big ones have you done? You did the healthy thing for a year. You did the Bible.
I did the Bible. I read the encyclopedia from A to Z and tried to learn everything in the world.
Wow.
That was my first book. And my new book, I'm very excited about. I got this email about a year and a half ago from this guy, and he says, you don't know me, but I've read your books, and I'm your 12th cousin. And I said, I thought he's, you know, going to ask me to wire $10,000 to Nigeria.
Sure.
But it turns out he's just part of this group of people who are building these mega, massive family trees. And they used to have family trees like 100, 200. I'm on a family tree now, 87 million people.
Wow. And have you figured out where exactly you came from?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all came from Africa.
Yep.
But then, yes, I moved
on. You were under a tree, shaded, obviously. So was I. We didn't get much sun.
It is true.
But we came from Africa.
And then my family went to Europe.
Do you know where in Europe? Or?
Yeah, Poland, Ukraine area.
Nice.
And then they came over. But it's been fascinating. I mean, I've been able to track down how I'm cousins with almost anyone on earth. So I like, you know, George H.W. Bush, the president, I figured out how I'm cousins with him. So I called up his chief of staff and was like, you know, I'm cousins with the president. Can I come down and interview him? And she's like, well, you are family. So I went down and I interviewed him and it was fantastic.
That's fantastic. Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've met
great.
All sorts of people.
And so you and I are probably cousins.
Oh, yeah. I actually looked you up to see if you're on my family tree yet. Yep. You're not there yet.
Yep.
But now that I know you.
Did you have any connections to Sparta?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm sure I did, but I have not tracked them down yet. I did have a little Italian,
we got to check that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we got to find out your Spartan ancestors.
We got to do that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I definitely got some connection there. I like cold showers. minimalist food, very little shelter. So yeah, I think I've got some connection back there.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Let's take a break. We'll go. Why don't we put on robes and we'll come back?
Great. I brought mine.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
All right, AJ, you know Spartan Up Podcast is about finding those 2, 5, 10 things that are going to help people become more successful,
yeah,
more healthy, more focused, and just get stuff done in life. There are no other guinea pigs like you, I don't think, anywhere, unless, do you know of any that have done what you've done?
Well, there's a few, but and I love them all, but yeah, I have not, no one's lived biblically like I have, or organized the biggest family reunion, so I guess I'm unique in that way.
Based on that experience, what do you recommend to the listeners? Like, what big takeaways are there?
Some of the big takeaways, one is what I talked about first, that you've got to pretend, like, if you're not confident.
Person.
One of the things was when I was writing the book about health, I was totally not confident. I was like, this is too big a topic. I can never do it. I'd wake up in despair. But then I would force myself. I'd call my publisher and say, all right, this is going to be a big book. And we got to have a big party and serve kale martinis, you know, when it comes out. And he's like, oh, that's a good idea. And after a couple of hours doing that, I convinced myself. I became confident, and it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. So self-fulfilling prophecies. Another big one is discipline, right? And it doesn't have to just be fitness. It can be mental discipline. Like, what I try to do every day is take 15 minutes and just devote that to brainstorming ideas. Because I think...
Do you use Post-its or you write anything down?
I wrote everything down. And I have all sorts of, you know, you lay out magazines and books and... all sorts of things as a jungle gym for your brain.
Right.
But I find that if I don't do that, the day can go by with me just responding to email and putting out fires. So
and
I have
not
to...
Not being on the offense.
Yes.
You want to be on the offense.
That's right.
In life.
You've got to take charge of your schedule. Like, you've got to be the boss.
I like that.
Yeah.
Take offense your life. I like that. All right. What's another big one?
Another big one is...
I like the gratitude.
Mm. Yeah, the gratitude has definitely changed my life.
Does it come back to you? Like here you are running around every day thanking people. Are you seeing it come back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, it's the energy that you put out. Energy is not a word I like, but the whatever positive.
The positive, what you're putting out there in a positive way comes back at you.
Yeah. Like, if you go in with a grumpy attitude, people are going to be grumpy right back at you. And if you go in, and that's what I try to do, because I think the world is a fascinating place. It's crazy. It's wild.
It's moving fast.
And it's moving fast. And I just, try
to
embrace
it. Just want to be positive.
Yeah.
All right, so that's three big ones. What else? What about the family tree? What can that teach us?
Well, that one, the big idea there is that we share 99.9% of our DNA. And we're not just the same species, we're the same family. The farthest cousin you have on Earth is like a 70th cousin. So I'm having this big family reunion, globalfamilyreunion.com, sign up.
Love it.
And it's all over the world, festivals. And the idea is to show that we're one big family. Maybe we should treat each other with a little more kindness, or at least a little less douchiness.
It's gonna limit dating options.
Well, you know, I married my cousin, so she's my like 8th cousin. I found out during this project.
Wow!
So you and listen, everyone married their cousin. That's the thing. So it actually expands your dating options.
So big takeaway there is we're all family.
We're all family. And another thing about this is a wild is if you join one of these if you figure out how you're cousins with anyone, it's like better than LinkedIn because you know you call up someone that you want to work with and. Hey, did you know we're cousins? Hey, you want to maybe do some business together? We are family. So it's like the ultimate in nepotism. Everyone's family, so you should be able to work with everyone.
I love it. All right, so you studied health and wellness for a year. What's your favorite exercise?
Well, I don't know if this counts as exercise, but I am in the treadmill desk movement. So I wrote that book while... walking, it took me about 1,200 miles. And since then, I've probably walked halfway around the world, I would say.
So walking.
Yeah, walking. Well, I also, you know, I did get into the high intensity interval training when I was there because I like to be efficient. So I did like the, you know.
Some intense stuff, yeah, short bursts.
The short bursts. Yeah. I was a big fan of that.
And then what about food? Favorite diet?
Food, I am into the usual, the whole foods. I'm not paleo, which I know a lot of your listeners are. Yeah. But I am into, you know,
raw fruits and veggies.
What the way it looks when it comes out of the ground. I don't care if it's raw, but I just like, yeah, the veggies.
And closer you can get to the way it was grown.
Yeah, the way it looks. Yeah. The way it looks.
Big meat eater?
I am not.
Not at all.
I am not. And that's not, you know, I studied this, so I actually think the jury is out on whether meat versus vegetarian, but I'm actually a vegetarian for ethical reasons.
Got it.
So not.
Well, you live with that sheep for a while.
That's right.
So, right?
Yeah, it's my family.
It's your family. All right, good stuff.
Rolling video.
Rolling. So that one was really fun for me because I'm actually a huge AJ Jacobs fan. The first thing I read of his was a short piece he did for one of the magazines, and it was called "Outsourcing My Life." And it was the first experiment I'd seen where he decided he would outsource absolutely everything. And it was through a company called My Man in India. And he would actually call this guy, and $7 an hour, this guy would like send his wife flowers. He'd write his resume for me, do whatever. Unbelievable. But then it went into the know-it-all, which was all about memorizing the encyclopedia from Aardvark to Zorro or whatever. But the one you talked to him a lot about was Your Living Biblically. Certainly one he's most famous for. Just an incredible project to decide to follow as closely as he could to the letter every rule in the Bible.
You think it's a little insane, or
it's totally insane.
Which translation?
There's no little involved. Now, I don't think he's insane. He's actually a very bright, sharp, interesting guy. But he's really interested in what if, like, what if I did this right? And what was the other one you mentioned?
Healthy.
Yeah, living myself to death, or no? That's
healthy to death.
He basically studied every kind of
fad diet
right, and methodology on how to be perfectly healthy, and
he would follow them as close as he could for a period of time. And
yeah.
So he calls himself a human guinea pig, and that's really what he is. But I think it's not just the physical, it's the social. Like, we watch it for entertainment thinking, oh my God, what's he going to do next, right? But incredibly smart guy.
Pretty. I thought it was pretty cool, living biblically for a year. I don't know. I thought that was...
Yes. But he talked about putting the hut inside his, you know,
love that,
room.
Love that.
You know, but inside the house, what Colonel Nye is saying, he wants to see it outside,
yeah,
snowing.
If you're going
to
do it, right?
Oh, I see.
Buddy, get outside.
Yeah, go spend 40 years in the desert, for example.
Yeah, go wander around the desert or something.
Moses' wife, Sephora.
Walk the Nile for 4,000 miles. Yeah. No, but I mean, listen, this guy's setting his own path, isn't he? I mean, you said there was nobody else like that. And I was wondering, I remember the old George Plimpton, the paper lion.
Yep.
The guy who went to the Lions, the football team, the tryouts, and tried out, although he was just a writer, and he'd written some other things where he had written as if he had been a professional athlete.
Dove in and experienced
the idea of gonzo journalism.
Exactly the phrase I was looking for.
Exactly. This guy, it's really interesting, and he's just getting started, right? Like, I mean, he's got 4 or 5 books under his belt, but the creativity, and to watch him for the next 20 years and the things he's going to do, it's pretty fascinating stuff. I loved when he talked about gratitude and just about that there's just so much to be grateful for. Yeah. And that he realized that. And, you know, he talked about that, you know, so much of what we hear about the Bible is sort of the more salacious, judging type stuff. And he said, you know, you're supposed to be grateful. You're supposed to wake up every day and be grateful. And he practiced that. And he said that's something he's carried on into the rest of his life, where he still just wakes up every morning and really, truly feels blessed. And that was a pretty cool thing.
And there's a lot of discussion beyond him about gratitude and how it empowers you and is uplifting. And so that's a big takeaway we can all use a little of.
All right, gentlemen, I think there were really a bunch of great takeaways from that podcast. I'm interested. What do you guys think some of them were?
I liked when we talked about him being on the offensive, taking 15 minutes a day every day and brainstorming and being creative. I find myself, I'm sure you guys, same thing, where you're putting out fires. We've talked about that a lot, right? You're on defense as opposed to being on offense. So I thought that was really interesting and something I could apply to my life.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Another one, and this has come up in a number of these interviews recently, and I really love this. He talked about the idea of pretending, basically. And he said, if there's something you want to do, pretend that you've done it. So that you can actually start to live into that reality. And we've had other people talk about imagining it, feeling it, and you'll start to attract it to yourself. But basically what he says, just go out and do it. Like the things that you wish you could do, just go do them as though you're already capable of it. And eventually, you mentioned that.
Well, he did. He talked about pretending to be nice.
Yeah.
And then after some point, you don't have to pretend anymore. You know, there's positive feedback from it. So it's easier to be the nice guy than not be the guy. And he talked, he gave the example about of going to the hospital to see his friend. You know, he didn't want to go to a hospital. Who likes doing that? He didn't want to do it. But he went, and then he finds there's positive, like, you know, that he doesn't only benefit, but other people benefit from it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know.
And it feeds on itself.
It feeds on itself, and you become more of a positive.
You might want to try that.
every now and then, yes, exactly.
And that came out of, you know, he said about the Bible told him he should do that, so he did it, not because he wanted to, but because it told him, and eventually he realized that's who he'd become. Right. And we talked about that earlier, too, about the idea of gratitude, that the Bible said to be grateful. And he took it to an extreme where, you know, he would go to the elevator, push the button, and thank the elevator for coming. He'd get out of the elevator, thank it for not crashing. Mm-hmm. And he just got so thankful for everything to where it became habit. So he was pretending to do this because the Bible said to, and eventually it just became habitual. And he said that he's far more grateful than he ever was in his life.
So bottom line is there are really good takeaways in the Bible, no matter what.
You ought to read it.
You ought to read it, no matter what religion you're into, and apply it to your daily life.
Although, that said, I think he was also pretty clear that it was certainly written for a time 2,000 years ago, and that it's very difficult to walk around stoning adulterers in the park and never shaving because you can't cut your hair. And
no, you don't have to take
on what country you're living in.
Yeah, you don't have to take away every
loose
single
and
thing.
Strict constructionist.
Yeah, figure out what works for you. Yeah. Sure. If you want to walk around with stones and a beard, you do it.
There you go. Cool. I think the same can be said of most books. I'm not trying to knock the Bible. Almost any book I can go find something good in.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Do you have a problem with the Bible?
I don't have a problem with the Bible at all. I just want to be really careful about telling our viewers they're going to do everything that the Bible says and they end up stoning adulterers to death in the park.
Well, I think,
just from a liability standpoint, AJ Jacobs had the sense to just throw little tiny pebbles. I don't want to be responsible for smiting and smoting and slaying and slewing and things like that.
Wow, so, you can add those words to the list for this week.
So, but that said, go to SpartanUpPodcast.com.
Thank you for listening to another epic story of success.
To find show notes, audio, and video from this great episode, please visit SpartanUpPodcast.com/081.
Or follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod. The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.